I'm Marianne Kobasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. Today I'm speaking with Ryan Witt, who is Vice President of Industry Solutions at security firm Proofpoint, about findings from the third annual survey on effects of cyber attacks in healthcare conducted with research firm Poneman Institute. The survey, which was conducted in March and April of this year, included 648 respondents who are IT or IT security practitioners at healthcare organizations. So, Ryan, what were some of the biggest surprises in the findings this year? What's most disturbing versus what we've seen in the past?
I think it's kind of a good news, bad news, or there are definitely silver linings to the results, even though the underlying results do are somewhat concerning. And by that, what I mean is we are still seeing a direct correlation to a cyber event impacting patient care. So if your institution is impacted in any sort of cyber event, and that's unfortunately still commonplace within healthcare, we are seeing a direct correlation to the knock-on effect impacts of that not only are financial or reputational from a brand harm sort of standpoint or from a compliance standpoint, but probably most concerningly, it does also impact an institution's ability to provide patient care. So that is concerning. The upside to that is I think that this is now widely known within the industry, and we have seen a uptick in investment in the level of security controls you would expect there to be in place to go mitigate against these sort of attacks. But I guess the industry is not there just yet, even though demonstrable progress has been made in both the understanding of the importance of it and the importance in that investment.
So, Ryan, I understand that the survey found that 92% of respondents said that they experienced at least one cyber attack in the last 12 months, which is up from 88% last year, and that the average number of attacks was 40. What were the most frequent type of attacks? And, when it comes to 40 attacks, are entities successfully stopping some of these attacks before they escalate into full-fledged crises? What are you seeing?
This is the classic defender's dilemma, right? So the lion's share of those attacks are being stopped, right? But as you know, if you put yourself into an attacker sort of mindset, you just need to get in once, right? This is one of those ones that there's a sporting analogy here somewhere we could probably call upon, but you need to defend your institution effectively 100% of the time. And that one potential time, if you're not successful for whatever reason, it can have a really strong knock-on effect. There is definitely an uptick in attacks on healthcare. I have heard many executives within the industry just say it's become, from a cyber criminal standpoint, it's just become a game of extortion, right? They are just trying to extort healthcare institutions. They've seen multiple examples where that has worked. And so that is now essentially the strategy. Just, I want to get in, I want to take over some part of your system, and I just want to extort you so that's my quickest way to get a return on investment on my threat activity. And I always hate to use terms like ROI, business terms in relation to criminal activity, yet that's how the criminal organizations think about their attack activity. They're trying to maximize their time, their investment, and they have found that attacks that are human-centric attacks, i.e., attacking people and how they work, to be the most impactful way for them to get into an organization. It's still getting access to credentials is the nirvana state for the threat actor. That once they have those credentials, once they have access into the network infrastructure, their ability to move laterally, their ability to analyze the organization for weaknesses or areas for exploitation. There are areas to understand where maybe the crown jewels are, those assets that can be most monetizable, whether it's just a payment redirect, where it's access into clinical research, patient data, whatever their motivation might be, gets way more pronounced once they get access into the network, and that network access is almost always governed by credentials, and the best way to get credentials is still to attack people.
So, Ryan, you had mentioned patient impact, and then I understand the survey found that 68% of respondents said that their organization had an attack against their supply chains. And from this set of respondents, 82% said it disrupted patient care, which was an increase from 77% in 2023. Any sense of how the Change Healthcare attack might have impacted the survey findings? Being that that's sort of a third-party player, were any of the disruptions that, respondents reported to patient care, do you think related to the impact of the Change Healthcare attack? How might that fit into this, do you think?
I think unfortunately there has been a connection between that event, which is what in the first part of the year, February, whenever that was, and to healthcare's attitude towards what is their highest priorities going forward. We regularly speak with the executives, cybersecurity executives within the healthcare community, and resiliency in their overall IT infrastructure is almost 100% cited as a main objective for their IT strategy going forward. It's not that they didn't have resilience, but events like that just makes you rethink, like, to what degree do you have an ability to recover from an attack, and to what degree do you have partnerships or systems or applications that are so critical to how your business is run that if you were to lose access to them for whatever reason, it profoundly impacts your ability to meet your mission. So yes, I think Change Healthcare has reinforced the need to really double down on resiliency to make sure that there just is no proverbial single point of failure, and that you can carry on delivering against what your mission is, which is almost always in a healthcare context, in a provider context, around providing patient care and maintaining patient safety. And it often harkens back to something like the Hippocratic Oath around this do no harm. And so once you get to that mission-oriented sort of activity, and the event impacts that mission, it becomes really strongly top of mind with healthcare IT executives and executives who run the healthcare, who run that institution.
And so now, Ryan, what did you see in the survey in terms of trends involving ransom payouts by healthcare sector entities? Are these payments becoming more frequent, less frequent? Are the average payments going up? What do you see?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's one of those things that it feels like there's always a recency bias, right? So the survey said that there was less concern around ransomware payment, but I always find that the moment a ransomware attack happens, like, people remember, oh yeah, ransomware, that's a problem. In terms of your question, so payouts spiked for sure. The survey definitely did found that. So, while fewer organizations had to pay ransom this year compared to last year, there's a marginal decrease in that. The survey found 4%, so 30%, 36% this year versus 40 last year. The payment spiked by a good 10%. So you're now almost $1.1 million being paid out as an average in a ransomware sort of payment, according to those people who responded to the survey. So it's a cataclysmic event when it happens. Maybe the respondents feel like it doesn't happen too frequently, and therefore that could be a reflection of why the concern is not as high as it was last year. But when a ransomware event happens, it almost always is super impactful from a financial standpoint to that institution. And so I think it never gets too far away from people's mindset in terms of the importance of figuring that out. And it also plays back to the previous comment to make sure you have resiliency inherent to your system so you're not subjected to these sort of threat activities.
So, Ryan, when you look at the findings, what are some of the top lessons that are emerging that you see, especially if it comes to action items that you think that healthcare sector entities need to be more mindful of, more proactive on at this point?
We see a lot more attention that needs to be paid for to reducing the threat around insider risk. That is definitely data exfiltration is becoming a larger, more important topic area for healthcare. The threat activity is all about penetrating the system, right? That's that people or human sort of attacks about how do I get into your system? How do I get access to your get credentials into your system? But once they're in, they want to exfiltrate something. I mean, that's the monetization angle of the attack. You have something that I think is valuable. I'm trying now to prevent you from taking that away. So that's putting the controls in place that reduce a threat actor's ability to exfiltrate data from the institution, and paying particular attention to the insider risk component. That's somebody who is nefariously trying to maybe aid the threat actor is something that needs to be paid attention to. And even those who are not nefariously, they're just working in a way that is vulnerable. They work in a way that their accounts can become compromised, so they're unwittingly part of the threat activity. So I think putting the controls in place that mitigate against that is really important. The other thing that we found was that there probably needs to be a pivot in how security awareness training programs are architected in healthcare. There was frustration noted in the report that too much of the cybersecurity training curriculum that the respondents saw were still compliancy oriented, i.e., was trying to drive the right behavior around meeting some sort of compliancy aim. And while that's noteworthy and important still, I think that the respondents are saying we need to have security-based training more and more. Like, what are some of the activities that we need to think about that not only protect us from a compliancy standpoint, that give us the right sort of safeguards to make sure that we are not exposing our institution to a security breach.
And also, Ryan, I understand that insecure mobile apps have become an increasingly, I guess, worrisome cybersecurity threat for healthcare respondents, with 59% of them saying that they were worried about the security risks associated with insecure mobile devices. And that's up from 51% in 2023. What are they worried about, and what can they do about this?
I think you have a situation here where historically the security architecture was really built on that, classic castle moat sort of structure where I'm going to try to put as much as my crown, any of my crown jewels, anything that's attractive to a threat actor behind these sort of castle walls. And the reality is, even though healthcare is slower to adopt technology and apps and mobile devices as compared to other industries, healthcare has certainly made that transformation. And so the castle moat architecture no longer wholly protects healthcare when you have so many more of your workers now who are either working away from home or wholly reliant on core applications, mobile applications to perform their job. They're not doing anything incorrect. They just work in a way that makes them more vulnerable to a threat activity. And the healthcare institution doesn't have the same ability to place controls onto those devices. So I think that's it is an area for exploitation. Threat actors are very good at social engineering their attacks. And so if respondents to a survey figure these things out, if IT or InfoSec security professionals figure this out, you can almost bet that the threat actors have also figured this out. And so they're going to modify their attacks accordingly. That is the whole nature of a socially engineered attack is doing your research, doing your reconnaissance, trying to figure out where there could be vulnerabilities and exploit that vulnerability. And this is definitely an area where I think healthcare, as we get kind of a post-COVID world and no longer just, hey, we must quickly do a work from the office to work from anywhere sort of mentality. Now that some of the stuff's becoming norm, I think the control's got to be put in place to reflect that new work state going forward.
Well, thank you so much, Ryan. I've been speaking to Ryan Witt, I'm Marianne Kolbaszek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.